This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We'll start off with your commodity markets from the Chicago Board of Trade, where everything finished higher across the board again yesterday. With corn for the December contract, it finished at 374 and a quarter, up 3. March corn finished at 384 and 3 quarters, up 2 and 3 quarters. And May finished at 391 and a half, up 2 and a quarter. On to soybeans for January, they finished at 911 and 3 quarters, up 6. March finished at 923 and 3 quarters, also up 6. And May soybeans finished at 937, up 6 and a quarter. On to Chicago wheat for December, it finished at 519 and a quarter, up 3 and a half. March wheat finished at 522 and a half, up 1 and a quarter. And May wheat finished at 527 and 3 quarters, up 2. On to soybean meal for December, it finished at 312.70, up 60. January soybean meal finished at 314.70, up 30. And March soybean meal was at 317.50, up 40. On to soybean oil for December, it finished at 28.64, up 33. January finished at 28.90, up 33 as well, and March soybean oil finished at 29.11, also up 33. We'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash grain reports.
This is Tuesday's reported grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Tuesday afternoon, with markets optimistic that China will purchase U.S. grain. In northern West Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 to 4 cents at 337 to 365. Soybean bids were 2 cents higher at 832 to 852. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 2 to 3 cents at 340 to 363. Soybean bids were 6 cents higher at 847 to 891. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 4 to 6 cents at 340 to 373. Soybean bids were 4 to 5 cents higher at 839 to 871. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 8 to 11 cents higher at 874 to 897. Basis is up 2 to 5 at 3500 to 1500 to January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis is offered at 292.70 to 308.70 a ton, up 30 cents a ton, with basis steady at 2200 to 600 to January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were mixed at 362 to 377, with basis steady to down 4 at 2300 to 800 the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted to produce the corn bids 2 to 7 cents higher at 366 to 374, with basis mixed at 1900 to 1100 the March. Soybeans ended up 2 to 6 cents at 862 to 870, with basis steady to down 4 at 1500 to 4200 the January. New crop wheat prices were down a penny at 498 to 508, with basis unchanged to 3500 to 2500 of July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 7 to 8 cents higher at 390 to 391. These elevators raised their soybean prices 6 to 8 cents, with quotations at 889 to 890. Soft wheat closed 2 cents higher at 542 to 543. Milo ended the day up 3 cents at 389 to 390. Contract bids for producers for January delivery: corn in the northern part of the state at 341 to 367, soybeans at 828 to 860. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery 345 to 367, soybeans at 849 to 891. And in the southern part of the state, contract bids for producers for January delivery 351 to 382, soybeans at 849 to 880. And June-July wheat at 488 to 527. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On to your livestock numbers from yesterday on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle finished higher, feeder cattle were mixed, and lean hogs were lower. And live cattle for December finished at 117.77, up 90. February live cattle finished at 121.65, up $1.47. And April live cattle finished at 122.90, up $1.27. On to feeder cattle for January, they finished at 144.40, down a dime. March feeder cattle finished at 141.85, up 40, and April feeder cattle finished at 142.90, up 55. On to lean hogs. December, they finished at 56.87, down $1.15. February lean hogs finished at 66.05, down 85, and April lean hogs finished at 70.75, down 47. We'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture one more time today for your latest cash livestock reports from yesterday.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon's livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 85 cents lower in a range of $45 to $49.87 with the weighted average carcass price of $48.68. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices are $3 lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 23 to 32, 4 to 500 pounds at 26 to 35, 5 to 600 pounds at 29 to 38, over 600 pounds at 32 to 41. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and guts at the country buying points are steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 28 to 35. Receipts for Illinois barrows and gilts have totaled 23,263. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on the live basis traded at $112.50 and on a dress basis traded at $183. Heifers on a dress basis traded at $183. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 419 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $70.88, which was 23 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $213.86, which was 78 cents higher, with select carcasses at $197.51, which is $1.67 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 121,000 compared to 121,000 for last week, and 118,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 478,000 compared to 469,000 for last week and 465,000 for 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
In your national news for part two of this morning's farm show, a last-minute farm bill may have just became a last-second farm bill with the cancellation of all votes in the U.S. House this week to honor the late President George H.W. Bush. House Majority Leaders announced the cancellation of votes this week, which will set the farm bill back at least another week that it can ill afford. But the nation has lost a former president, George H.W. Bush, who will lie in state in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda today when President Donald Trump has ordered that all federal agencies are to be shut down. At midnight Friday, several key federal agencies, including the USDA, will run out of spending authority, and it will take a hurried short- or long-term funding measure Monday to keep them open. American Farm Bureau's Andrew Walmsley.
It's still not clear on how much more time we might have. You know, the government's slated to partially shut down on Friday, but there's talk that they'll do a continuing resolution for a week or 2 weeks, and then that would obviously give us some more time to complete a farm bill.
House and Senate staffers say they have no idea when the lame duck Congress will end. It was scheduled to end after next week, but all that could change. One recent Congress worked right up to the convening of a new Congress on January 3rd, which gives Walmsley some hope for a silver lining.
This gives everybody a little bit more time because we really were scrambling to try to get it done before the end of this week, before the budget fight kind of came out. If anything, you know, there's a little bit of an ability for everybody to catch their breath, hit pause, get the CBO score back, get all that text finalized, and hopefully something for everybody to start reviewing the end of this week or at the very latest early next week.
Walmsley says committee staffs continue to keep final bill debates close to the vest to hold back the political arrows before the bill gets to the House and Senate floors. But what is known so far is the bill's lack of House GOP food stamp work requirements backed by conservatives, or key farm manager payment limits long sought by Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Included, however, is a robust crop insurance title, an expected 27 million acres for CRP, and continued strong EQIP conservation funding, There's also an expected annual selection for ARC or PLC subsidies. Also happening over the weekend, agriculture eagerly awaits the details regarding increased purchases of U.S. ag products by China. President Trump over the weekend said, following a discussion with China, that the nation will be buying massive amounts of products from us, promising an incredibly positive impact on farming. Political reports, however, there is no guarantee China will hold up its end of the bargain, as China's statement on the talks made no mention of agricultural products. There are also little details in the announcement from Trump, as the quantities and specific products are undetermined, though the White House says the purchase will begin immediately. The U.S. Meat Export Council called China's willingness to return to the negotiating table encouraging, but added that exports cannot reach their full potential until the retaliatory duties imposed by Mexico, China, and Canada are removed. Trump also signed his North American Free Trade Agreement replacement on Friday that does not address the steel and aluminum tariffs on Canada and Mexico, which have both retaliatory tariffs in place over them. On to local news, we have the special report from the Farm Bureau meeting in Chicago.
I'm Katie Wilson, manager for Montgomery County Farm Bureau with a report. And we're going to catch up with a board member for Sangamon County, Mike Borjic. Mike, you wear a lot of hats in agriculture, but today we're going to talk about your Farm Bureau hat. So how long have you been serving on the board of directors for Sangamon County?
I was elected on the board back in July. I've been with Sangamon County Farm Bureau for a while now, probably close to 10 years. With the Young Leader Committee, and that just kind of morphed into being involved with the board and doing a lot of different activities through the committee as I was chair and other things. And then opportunity became available that they were looking for somebody in my district. And so I said, yeah, I'll do it, and got elected back in July.
Well, sounds great, and I hope that goes well for you as you continue to be involved. One thing that's exciting for Sangamon County this year, you informed me, 100th anniversary time, so celebrating now, and I've already had some events.
Yeah, we've basically this entire year has really revolved around this 100-year anniversary. We had, as part of the 100-year anniversary, Stephen talked about the tractor drive that we had, and then the winners of those of the tractor drive got to be presented at the 100-year anniversary celebration we had back in August at the State Fairgrounds. Had some great speakers there. We had Orion Samuelson there, Zippy Duvall from AFBF. Just a really great event. Probably about 300 people attended that one. It was very nice just to celebrate again Farm Bureau, celebrate 100 years of our organization there in Sangamon County, and we continue to do that. We do have one more event coming up here in December, the official 100th year of Sangamon County Farm Bureau will be on December 20th there at the Farm Bureau office in Springfield, and so we're really looking forward to that, and it's just been a great year just celebrating our organization.
Well, it sounds like great things to come, so very exciting. Mike, this isn't your first Illinois Farm Bureau annual meeting. You've had the pleasure of coming to Chicago several times. Have you kept track of how many times you've been here?
Well, if you want to count from when I was a kid, it's been a lot more than that. There's still the story going around with my family is that when my parents were in Young Leaders and came up to the Farm Bureau annual meeting here at the Palmer House, well, now probably be 35 years ago, I was a baby and they ran out of cribs, so I ended up sleeping in a drawer up here in Chicago. But I've been here quite a few times. Like I said, I think I've been involved with Sangamon County Young Leaders for about 10 years now. Been up here several times to represent our district and our county in the discussion meet for the Young Leader competition up here, and I think this is about my sixth or seventh time doing that up here. But I've had a lot of fun. This is my swan song. I'm done. I'm getting too old to be a young leader anymore. So I came up here and had a good time. Made it to the Sweet 16 round again this year, and just really enjoyed seeing all the people that you see basically once or twice a year. You come up here to the conference or at the Young Leader Conference in January, and you see all the friends that you've made across the state, and it's just great to catch up with everybody.
And that was Katie Wilson with Mike Borjic of the Sangamon County Farm Bureau. Katie also interviewed the newest state discussion meet winner from Henry County.
I'm Katie Wilson, manager for Montgomery County Farm Bureau, bringing you a report from the Illinois Farm Bureau annual meeting in Chicago. We have a chance to catch up with the state discussion meet winner just announced, Megan Dwyer. Megan, congratulations. What are you feeling as you just received this award? You've got an awesome, I guess we'll call it a trophy in front of you. How does it feel?
Thank you, Katie. Still kind of in shock and awe. The competition was really stiff this year, really tight. It was people were well prepared, and we had a lot of great conversations, and you just never know how it's going to go with the judges, but I feel like the experience Farm Bureau has allotted me really added that extra boost when we were having those conversations.
What were some of the topics this year that you had to discuss about? And to be clear, this is not a debate, it's a discussion. Anything you'd like to say about that to kind of give listeners the background of what it was you were actually competing in?
Yeah, and that can always be challenging. You know, everyone has their own ideas and can feel very strongly about them, but to have more of that engaging, all-encompassing conversation and inclusive to make sure everybody has their voice heard can sometimes be a challenge. But so we were talking on some very important things affecting ag today, the markets and how we can add value and profit at the farm gate, talking about protecting the technology we have and production practices, and then importantly as well, you know, our 4-to-1 ratio of A members to voting members and what we can do to provide value to our large membership class. So a lot of, you know, broad topics, but things that a lot of people could find some common ground and things that we could do to bring new ideas to the organization.
How did you get to this point? Where did it start? How did you work your way up to the state competition in Chicago?
Yep. So you have to compete at the district level. So in our district this year, we actually had 7 participants. It was really good for our young leader group to have such a high interest in wanting to be here and to compete. And then, you know, the experiences with Leaders to Washington, the Young Leader Industry Tours, Women's Communication Boot Camp, those types of experiences just add a different twist and perspective that not everybody can bring when having the discussions.
Sounds great. Well, congratulations again. Farm Bureau is not new to you. You've been involved in your home county for several years. So tell us a little bit about your background and involvement with your home county and what you do there and just a little bit about Henry County.
No, Henry County, really proud and thankful for all the support from Henry County. You know, I've sat on the board for 5 years now. We've got a very progressive and open-minded community or county, and I feel like, you know, they are always looking for what the future holds and where that next opportunity is, and very open to bringing in new ideas and, you know, PM members and including women on the board. We're fortunate we've got a quarter of our women today on the board. Our seats on the board are filled by women. So just a very open community that's been county that's been very supportive.
You told me you're very interested in the educational side of things, and you do a lot of work with that in your county. Talk to us a little bit about how you're involved there.
Yeah, so I also have the opportunity to chair our education committee. And for me, the consumer outreach has always been really important. You know, we're not going to change everyone's mind, but if we can be a voice, we know not every farmer is going to leave the farm or feels comfortable having those conversations. So the more we can do to have a positive message. And so one thing we've done are our Farm to Fork cultivating conversation dinners, where we try and pair industry experts. So whether they're farmers, veterinarians, nutritionists, people in retail, with the food purchasers, the main food decision makers, and sit down, have a nice meal, and really get after those tough topics. And we've been really happy with the success we've seen from that.
Sounds great. Again, we've been talking with Megan Dwyer, Henry County State Discussion Meet winner at the Illinois Farm Bureau annual meeting in Chicago. Before we wrap up, Megan, anyone you'd like to thank as you sit here and reflect on winning the discussion meet?
Well, like I said, my county's been very supportive. My county Farm Bureau manager, Katie Lalleman, has been tremendous and sat in on all my discussions and answered late-night emails and text messages. Tara Boner-Yoder was a past state winner that was very instrumental in helping me get to where I was. And probably most importantly, my husband, who's willing to stay at home with 3 young kids so I can be here and do different things within the Farm Bureau organization.
Again, that was Katie Wilson with Megan Dwyer of the Henry County Farm Bureau. In other news, Amanda Cole, Extension Unit 18 County Director, is pleased to introduce Sarah Martin as the new 4-H Youth Development Educator for Christian, Jersey, Macoupin, and Montgomery counties. Before accepting her current position, Martin previously worked as a 4-H youth development educator at Purdue Extension, serving Decatur County, Indiana. Most recently, she worked at the University of Illinois Extension Unit 26, serving Franklin, Jackson, Perry, Randolph, and Williamson counties as the 4-H youth development educator there. Sarah grew up in rural Raymond on the family grain farm. She was a 10-year 4-H member of the Raymond Buckeyes 4-H Club. During her 4-H career, she was involved in many agricultural-focused projects, including animal and veterinary science, beef, dogs, and cats, as well as visual arts, scrapbooking, and leadership. After high school, Sarah attended the University of Illinois, where she completed her bachelor's degree in animal science and a master's degree in agricultural education. During her college years, she served for 2 years on the Illinois State 4-H Youth Leadership Team and 1 year as a 4-H representative. Martin stated that she's excited to return to her hometown and serve her community and the 4-H program in this capacity. She's eager to return to her roots and be able to make connections with her hometown community and to help make the best better for the youth in the area. Anyone interested in contacting Sarah may reach her at the Montgomery County Extension Office by calling 217-532-3941 or email her at Martin, M-A-R-T-E-N, the number 1, at illinois.edu. Your commodity markets will remain open today despite the National Day of Mourning for President George H.W. Bush, and those opening markets will come to you right here at 9:30. On WSMI. That's all we have for this Wednesday morning. This has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.